on kids, now gather round. Grab along and sit right down. What's that smell? What's that sound? You're on fire, now hit the ground. It's the Campfire Shit Show. And now, your camp counselors, Bo Hufford and Meryl Climo.
Self-detonate. Yeah. It feels so weird when we don't podcast for a week.
I know. It's kind of crazy. But we're back.
We're back.
Boom.
Okay, before we get started in the real podcast.
But we are started already.
Okay, this is the real podcast.
This is already the real podcast.
I have a special surprise for you.
A special surprise for me?
Yep.
Oh, no.
I got something. Don't look. Don't peek, you little peeker.
For you or for me?
I think we're going to split it. Don't guess. Don't guess.
Okay, so Meryl has her bag sitting here, and she's trying to open it up with a backpack with one hand.
This is something that you have not been able to attain. Okay. Don't guess that I've attained.
What is happening?
This is also theater of the mind, and we'll take a photo of
it. Okay, so she's just brought out a plastic bag. I really have no idea what's going on.
Okay, now I'm handing up a bag to you. I know, obviously, you guys can't see what's happening.
Are you going to hand it to me?
Yep.
Okay, you're
gonna, do you have any clue what's going on?
No,
right now?
I have
okay,
no
so
clue.
I brought over a plastic bag of something that Bo can't get.
Okay, that I can't
that
get.
You've wanted for so long that I was able to get in about 4 fucking days.
Okay, so it feels...
So open it up.
It feels like liquid.
Okay, it feels liquidy.
I couldn't get, and then... Okay, I'm opening the bag.
Opening the bag.
Okay.
And now he's opening
There's a weird
And there's
container.
A post-it note. And it is
Edgar's salsa. Oh my God. Wait, he sent this to you?
Yep. Priority mail.
Was it cold when it got there?
Yep. It was like freeze dried with a lot of.
What the fuck? So he made salsa and sent it to you.
Correct. So we got
Edgar, you're dead to me,
yep.
Dude.
So if you're just listening for this episode, Bo has a video best friend named Edgar who has become one of my friends. And Edgar's coveted salsa has been, it's been taking months. And so I messaged Edgar and I was like, I need this to happen right away. I don't care about the cost.
You're really?
And then like every Insta story that he would post of his family, I would just be like, is your baby going to mail me salsa? I think he just knew that he did like a cost benefit analysis and he knew that sending me the salsa would be better for everyone.
Oh my God.
Isn't that funny? Did you expect it?
Of course not. I mean, I really thought that Edgar would never follow through with the salsa.
I know. Well, he ask.
Well, I think, it's for the bit, you know?
It's for the bit. You're
it's
right.
For
it
the
is
bit.
For the bit. That's what
people will do anything to make a joke, but it's so hard to get people to do things like when they just have to do them.
Right.
But then it's like, oh, this will be funny. You'll go to great lengths to order that thing online, to have it show up, to be like, I got you this thing. You know,
you know that the barista at Starbucks you said you hated. I killed her just for the bit.
For the bit.
So that's that.
Oh, my God.
Do we want to break and have you put it in your refrigerator really fast, or you don't know?
I mean,
this
sure
is actually perfect too, because you also might have like a little ant problem in your house. You just said so. This is I'm like, hello, I'm bringing you something like wet. And
no, it's because I mean, the summertime or this, you know, September, October time, it gets a little, you know, ant heavy.
Yeah.
In San Diego, I think, and then I have a bar, and so the bar has sweet alcohol, and
it sure does.
Somebody spills a drop, suddenly you have a fucking trail of ants
coming
all the way from Edgar's house. You know what I'm saying? Carrying the salsa. That's
you could keep
ridiculous.
It. I just want to try a little taste.
No, I don't even want it.
No,
I don't,
really?
No, I don't like green salsa.
What if I mail it back? Well, I'll have it. It's like almost a gallon jar of what looks like tomatillo type salsa or green salsa.
Yeah.
As they say. He said to make enchiladas with it, which I will never do. But,
but it has cheese in it. You love cheese.
I do love cheese. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Well, that's awesome.
Yay.
I love that Edgar can do something for the bit.
Thank you, Edgar.
Isn't it weird that we've never met Edgar, like, in real life?
I know.
But, like, somehow we have inside jokes, we have conversations.
Yes.
He's sending you salsa that he made. He had to have made that salsa just for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were making a fresh batch.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
And the best part is, too, it really got mailed to me, like, priority, blah, blah, blah. And the post office didn't deliver it the day that they were supposed to because I think it was too hot out and I don't think they were going to leave it. Like, even though it came in a shipping thing for liquids. But then I, like, called UPS and was on the phone and then, like, awaiting my salsa. Like, it was all I was thinking of yesterday, too. So
that's so funny. You're funny. Well, enjoy it.
As the saying goes, your friends are my friends. Okay, so first, should we talk about your trip home?
Oh, boy.
What a big thing.
Oh, boy.
I want to hear.
Let me tell you. Yeah. So I just went home to Ohio. Long story short, my mom got a great opportunity through a family friend or an extended family. Someone had passed away. They had a house. They were going to sell the house.
That's why our friend LaShonda wrote and said the house, you get a great deal because the house is haunted.
Yeah.
So do you think?
No, it's not haunted.
Okay.
But I mean, it was crazy, the deal that my mom got. In fact, like, she had called me and she had said, like, I don't know what to do. Should I buy the house or not buy the house? I was like, well, how expensive is it? You know, that's where you start, kind of thing. And she's like, well, it's like, you know, it's like $26,000. I was like, what? I'm like, my car costs more than that. Why would you even be wondering?
Why would you even be wondering? You pay that. We both pay that in rent.
Yeah.
A month. Or yeah. Not a month. Yeah. A year, right?
And she bought an entire house for what?
$26,000?
No, I mean, I don't know exactly how much it was, but what I know it was cheap. It was cheap like that.
Now, do you know how the person died in the house before?
I think she hung herself from seeing ghosts.
Honestly,
she just died of old age.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's okay.
Relax.
If it was a child, they
you always got to find some reason that something's bad.
Anyway, so
my mom asked me to come home and help with the move, which I knew was going to be a catastrophe from the moment I heard her say, she tricked me too. She tricked me because she got on the phone and she said, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Blah, 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 blah. She's like, how's work going? I'm like, well, you know, it's not really going anywhere. I don't have much to do. And she's like, oh, so how are you spending your weeks? And I'm like, you know, just trying to stay alive. She says, you don't have any gigs or anything coming up? I'm like, no. She's like,
oh, she trapped you.
She's like, great. I want you to come home. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Because you can't be like, oh, I actually have this and this. I'm going to Japan.
Like, well, actually, I just got a gig right now.
Yeah. Ooh, she's smart.
I know. She got me on that one. So I had to go home, and I went home for 4 days. I stopped in Dallas and to see my friend Ian and had a great time. It was awesome, but it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
If you're in Texas or one of these states like Arizona or New Mexico that are hot right now, oh, I feel for you. It was like 110.
Really?
It was ridiculous.
Now, what was the COVID vibe there in Texas?
You know, surprisingly, people wore the mask, but then most people just acted like it didn't exist.
Really?
That's how I felt.
So it's like back to normal.
People are wearing masks, but then some place you go by, we walked by this one place and there were people dancing like crazy in there. And it was like really close. And it's like, okay, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it in there.
Yeah.
For sure. But one thing I did learn, you know, you don't think about like cultural or I don't know, just the differences of like certain states, especially the south to the north or the east to the west.
The red states and the blue states.
Yeah, when people come to California, like, oh, it's so beautiful here. You guys are all like, hanging out and lazy. And then you go to New York, it's like the hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you're bundled up in the winter and all these, you know, everyone's got this thing, right? I'm not thinking. I go to Texas. I take the clothes that I take. But like, you know, I probably dress a little bit more, how would you describe it? Sometimes when I dress up, it's like.
Like urban or.
No, I don't know. Urban. I know it's urban.
I was trying to think. Not like urban. But
I guess
like,
I would say I have a little bit more colorful,
like
style.
Architect chic or something. I would call it.
I would just say it's just like I had like palm printed, like,
yeah,
you know, like palm fronds printed pants or like a flowered shirt.
Yes.
And I didn't even think about it. Right. That's just like no big deal. And then I got there and I was getting so many fucking looks.
Really?
Everyone's in like polo shirts with like their sports team on it, or I mean not everyone, but like a lot of people were just like,
you look very like Palm Springies. I
definitely got asked like, are you into girls? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm glad I could say yes, only because like if I had said no, I feel like I would have been chased out of town a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know? But my friend and I, we went out one night and like he had a nice like button up shirt with print on it. And I had a nice button up shirt and he has a mustache currently. And it was so funny because like I saw this woman look at us and be like, oh, like really like look at these two, you know. And I was like, oh, man, I haven't felt like this in a long time. And then my friend sent me a photo that was like just the Birdcage. You know that movie?
Yes.
It's like, this is how Texas looks at us.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it was so great. Anyway, Dallas was great. I saw an outdoor drive-in theater. I really hadn't seen a drive-in like a movie in many, many, many years. I saw a great movie, A Fistful of Dollars, which is a fantastic old Western. So to see that in Texas, outside of the Texas Theater, which is this famous theater there in Dallas, and just sitting in the back of a truck drinking tequila. It was like an awesome.
That's so cool.
It was a really cool moment. It was awesome. My friend Ian hooked it all up. So that was really fun. But I just had a good time. I went through my first drive-through daiquiri place.
They have that?
So you can just drive through like you would a Starbucks, but the menu was only daiquiris.
Whoa.
So like drive-through alcohol. Just get it and go. Just get it and go.
Now, what's the kind of place that he lives in? Because I always love hearing about different...
Oh, he lives in a great... It's called Oak Cliff, and it's awesome. It's
really?
Like the arts district.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. A lot of cool little spaces. I actually took a picture of the menu for the daiquiri place. I wanted to share with you some of the names of it. Now, this is Dallas, Texas' first frozen drink spot.
Okay.
You just drive through, order it. They have the A Little Dick'll Do. That's blue Hawaiian and lemonade. They have a... Put Your Mouth on Me.
Whoa.
They have a blowjob. They have a menage a trio. They have multiple orgasm. These are all names of drinks.
So they pretty much know that you are drinking and driving.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly what they're...
Yeah, because all these things that all have alcohol in them, you know?
Yeah.
The one's called the Suck Me Dry. It's got rum and a Mai Tai mixed with strawberry and pineapple. It's just like...
Four of those, please. Yeah.
My friend and I each ordered a multiple orgasm, and I couldn't stop laughing because when my friend was like, can we get two multiple orgasms?
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Like, having to order it that way is ridiculous. And we got them, and I was like, get a large. You know, we're going to have a day drink day, you know? They came. We took one sip, and we were both like, no, we can't do this.
We can't do it.
It was fucking just pure, like... It tasted like bug spray.
Oh.
Like sweetened bug spray. It is so bad. And I knew that if I drank that thing, I kept trying to champion through it, just be like, all right, don't throw it away. But then I was like, every drink, I was like, this is fucking awful. So we just chucked it. Like, we literally took two sips and chucked them. They cost us like, I think it was like $16.
Damn.
Anyway.
Did you flirt with any Dallas hotties?
No.
They're very like blonde.
I was there to support my friend. He's new to the city.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know anybody. And you can see that he is out there like doing what he needs to do by talking to a lot of the locals. But I wasn't, what am I? I'm not living in Dallas. I'm
no.
not going to be, you know.
You can hit it and quit it.
Nah.
Get two multiple orgasms, throw it out the window.
What am I going to do? Hey, thanks for bringing me to Dallas, you know, like with my friend. And then I'm going to bring a girl back to his house while he's, no, I'm not doing that. Anyway, yeah, so it was good. Had a great time, but I was dreading the whole time.
Yeah.
I was dreading knowing I was about to have to go home.
I wish you almost did it the opposite way.
Well,
that's the...
I thought about it, but I was like, I want to have all my energy for Dallas.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to Dallas with this like heavy sack of like problems.
Yeah.
And be like, ugh, I just hated it. You know,
yeah.
I wanted to go with good energy.
Right.
Also, flying to Dallas is halfway, so it was like, oh, I still
a nice break.
A little pep in my step.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Anyway, I got some great barbecue in Texas, too. Mm. Holy fuck. Some of the best I've ever had. Two places if you're in Dallas. Oh, well, three places. Lockhart, Pecan Shit Ridge, maybe?
Pecan Shit Ridge?
Fuck, I forget the name. Something Pecan Shit. It's something Pecan.
Ew,
Pecan Lodge. Pecan Lodge. I'm so sorry. Pecan Lodge. And then the third one, oh, no. It's called, fuck, Ian's going to be like, come
Dallas
on,
Barbecue.
No, it's just really, it was really, really good.
So yummy.
Dang, why can't I remember anything?
Too much barbecue.
It has a bird. It has a bird on it.
Chippendales?
It's got a bird on it.
Red Robin.
Anyway, we'll put it in the box.
Yeah. You're laughing.
Okay, so anyway. Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't know. We'll probably cut this out anyway.
Oh my gosh. No, we'll keep it in because people can tell. If you know the third one, message us.
Okay. and it was the best one, honestly. It was the best one, the third one. Then I go to Ohio, and this is like, I don't know I don't know how you are when you fly home. How far is the airport from
your
home?
I was just about to ask. So the airport that we have in Scranton is called Avoca.
Okay.
And it will only take puddle jumpers. So basically, like, I always have to fly to Philly or some connecting airport, and then it's a smaller flight. And the times
that
I
do take that smaller flight.
So I not anymore. I've told my parents never again, because the last time I did a few years ago, as we were like approaching the runway, they were doing a test fire in Avoca. So we were like flying next to this huge fire on the runway.
God.
And I just, like, those are the types of planes that I
that's what those are the
things really
those
do
where
happen
people
on
crash. Yeah, that's,
yeah
those are the Kobe Bryant planes,
yeah,
the helicopters.
So for the past 4 or 5 years I always fly into either New York or Philly and then like find my way back home via car or whatever. So I don't know, I was just gonna ask if that was the same thing for you, where there's one small airport.
Yeah, there's no small airports, it's only big airports. So it is at minimum an hour and a half
Damn.
To 2 hour drive to get to the airport or be picked up from. So my dad had picked me up, and this is classic, I traveled all day to get to Ohio, right? I had because I have a layover in Chicago and all this stuff, right? I get in, I land, I walk out. My dad is waiting like a teenage heartthrob in front of his Camaro, like leaned up against it from the 80s. And he was like, I put the seat back for you so you can drive home. And I was like, oh,
what?
Really? Like every time I fucking fly home, my dad's like, I don't want to drive. I'm just like, I just flew like
yeah.
8 hours. I've just been traveling. You think I want to drive another 2 hours?
Right.
And it's like, he just makes me do it.
And it also takes a minute for me to get accustomed to driving
yeah.
on the East Coast highways versus the West Coast, because it's a whole different weird.
Well, the good thing is it's just straight cornfields. You know, we're just going
That's true.
Through the cornfields.
There's not even a highway.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, there's no highway.
Yeah, yeah.
We just get in the Amish wagon and we, okay, so go home. And this is what's crazy. When you go back home and you go to your childhood home, that's where your parents still live, right?
Yes.
Is it like the way that you remember it?
My room is still eerily.
Yeah, it hasn't been touched.
It was as if like I was a weird like child actress abducted. My parents like still left it the same way where there's still like buttons of mine that were still like in fifth grade and even like messages from my like best friends in eighth grade. Yeah, everything.
I'm sure it's like that at my house, but I wasn't allowed inside my childhood home. Because so here's the layout. My dad and my mom split up maybe a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my dad stayed in my childhood home. My mom moved into a new place and then has moved around a couple places. But she ended up living in the same small town in a place. So when I say small town, it's 800 people. So that's not a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's more people in a Target right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they live in the same town. And then my sister is in the house directly beside my dad's house. So there's a lot of closeness.
So she moved next to her childhood home?
Yes.
Okay, yep.
So, you know, they're very much like in each other's lives all the time. But when I went home, and what I was going to say is like somewhere after my mom left my dad, she started collecting things, sort of like rounding things in her life to like make her happy. Because she was maybe finding that she hadn't completely like gotten what she wanted in her life, and she was, you know, looking for something more. And a lot of people do this. They do it with different things. They do it with food. Some people like eat a lot and they try to like find happiness in food or possessions, materialism. And my mom definitely did that. But so did my dad. He just like stopped taking care of the house.
Oh, really?
And so does my sister. She actually has a lot of stuff that she got into like collecting. And my mom's always been a collector, but like this stuff got amped up in the last 10 or 15 years. And so I wasn't allowed in the house because my dad's like, nope, you're not going to be happy. I haven't cleaned it. And the last time I went home, it was like, it shattered my heart. And this time he wouldn't let me in. And I'm just like, okay. So I was staying at my mom's house. Right. And I knew my mom is a fucking hoarder.
Right.
I knew it. I've told her for years, Mom, you've got it. Every time I go home, I'm always cleaning out the fridge and being like, this expired 12 years ago or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And just trying to help and throw out. But none of them, not any of them, not all three of them, are really able to like hunker down and take care of it.
Yeah.
Something's holding them
it's
back.
It's definitely like a mindset.
It's either a mindset or it's a physical thing where my mom's health isn't totally there. So,
right.
So there are three houses full of stuff.
Man.
And this is not to throw my family under the bus. It sounds like I am. I'm just really frustrated because, you know, my house is like.
Right.
super simple. Like, yep. I'm definitely a minimalist in that way. So to go back, it's like, it's kind of soul crushing to see it. And so I'm sure if you know me, you know that like comedy ensues. And so I got to the new house and realized that they hadn't cleaned the house before they moved in. And there was a lot of stuff that needed to be done. But then we were throwing all this stuff in the new house. So now
we're still moving all the stuff that you don't need.
Yeah, moving things. Things weren't in boxes. My mom wasn't so super prepared. It was just a complete and utter chaotic thing.
Now, was it all, not all, but like I always picture a lot of toothpaste and toothbrushes.
My mom definitely is like, if you can imagine, okay, go to the mall. Let's say you go to the mall, right? And there are all these different stores and you can go in, there's all these different products. That's my mom's house.
Like, okay. Like here's the Bath and Body Works section.
That's the Bath and Body Works store in this section of the house. Oh, here's the here's the bakery over here. And that's got a lot of things there. And it's just like every little part. There's a clothing store and a fucking, you know, all these things. Oh, that's a hardware store. There's lots of parts and pieces to things that nobody knows where they go.
Yeah.
That's my mom is essentially a superstore. You know?
And I bet lots of like cups, like souvenir cups and just.
Oh, yeah. People like that always have like so many dishes. It's like, how many glasses do you really need?
Yeah.
How many do you need? You can only drink. You're one person. You can't drink 42 glasses of drinks before you do dishes.
And I love your mom too, and I'm not judging. But I feel like I wouldn't be able to carry on with the other things in life unless that was tended to. Like, I feel like if my desk is really disorganized.
Right.
Or if there's like ants all over where we're podcasting. There's ants. It's okay. But anyway, back to your mom's white peony candles. Oh, right now we're just we might have to take a break, you guys. We have ants currently all over.
Oh my god.
Okay, we're gonna cut. I don't know what you just sprayed. We'll be right back.
The ants go marching one by one. Hoorah, hoorah. The ants go marching one by one. Hoorah, hoorah. The ants go marching one by one. The little one stops to suck his stomach. They all go marching.
Everyone has ants.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing because I'm just talking about how my house is clean.
Yeah, no, I have friends that we were just last night. I was hanging out with people and they were saying that they're suffering from an ant invasion. Yeah, but that being said, that if anything's cluttered too much, I'm not able to move forward with my life and my work and my thoughts.
Yeah, that's how
I feel.
I'm always like, how am I supposed to like get things done if I look around and everything's a mess? And it's my mom could have been featured on a hoarder show.
So have you
it wasn't
told
like,
her?
I'm not being dramatic.
Really?
I'm not being dramatic. Yeah. I really think, what did I tell her?
Like,
I lost my mind. And that's the thing. It's like, that's what I was kind of getting to. It's like, I kind of fucking, I just don't have the patience for it anymore. It's been too many years. And so I'm kind of like, you know, it's weird to sit down your parents and say, get your shit together.
Yes.
It's weird to do. And I realized, like, from a very young age, I think I've had to be the adult in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Communication-wise, you know, just having to, like, you know, when your parents are like, clean up your room, right? And you're like, okay. And then you do it. And then you're talking to your parents, clean up your fucking room. Like, it's so weird.
I honestly feel that way with my dad now. My mom messaged me yesterday. Today is we're taping on a Sunday and today's his birthday. And my mom's like, just call it sometime. But he's also feeling flu-ish, but it may be the medication that he's on for his heart that he's having issues with. But I'm at that point the same with you where I want to be compassionate, but I have begged him for years to take care of his health.
Better health.
And and I'm just like, I cried the last time to him because I just said, because he had heart surgery and I was like, I'm like, you're being given gifts right now that is allowing you to kind of like make a change or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, these are actually like real health things with actual medication and stuff.
I think it's like it is a responsibility of, I mean, this is just generally, if you're moving and people are helping you move, have shit ready.
Yes.
Don't have people show up and then be like, oh, nothing's in boxes and everything's chaos. And it's like, you have to take the time. It's your responsibility to prepare for that. I love you, Mom, if you're listening to this.
Yes, we love her. She's the best, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, and so.
Did she think you were going to be responsible for even tossing stuff out too? Or?
No, because I don't think she was wanting to toss stuff out until I got there. And then it was like, I mean, she's moving piles of things from one place to another, and then we moved a whole house's worth of stuff into her place, and that was about a third of what she had. And then I was like, you still have to clean more out of the other house.
Yeah.
You just need to throw it away or give it away. You just need to just let it go of your life. It's holding on to you, you know? And so we definitely had a couple blowouts where I was like, I'm fucking sick of this shit. Like I told both my parents, I'm like, don't fucking let me have to be, because my sister or I are, or both of us are going to have to like take care of all this shit when they pass.
Yeah.
And I said, I know you don't want to talk about death, and I know you think that like, oh, everything will just be cleared up by the time you do die, but you don't know when that's going to be. And then you're going to leave me with, essentially right now, if I'm the youngest and everyone dies before me, I'm going to have to clean out three houses.
Right. That's a really good point. Or you'll have to pay for 1-800-JUNK to come. Yeah.
And it's going
to,
and that's exactly what I'll do. Yeah. I'm not going to go in there and be like, well, what can I salvage? Right. Don't say shit for me. Just sell it and take the money and do something. Go on vacation. But I don't want to fucking deal with it. And so I definitely was probably a little bit of a dick,
mm-hmm.
because I was just sick of it. You know, it's like, how many times do you have to go home and be like, this is embarrassing? That's what I said. I said, I would never bring someone home, because my mom's like, oh, I was hoping that you'd bring somebody home. Are you dating anybody? And I was like, no, I would never bring someone home to this.
Right.
And my mom was so offended because she thought I was saying I never want anyone to meet her. But I'm like, but you know, that's not true. I've introduced you to all my friends.
Right, she's welcome when she's out here to come to basically anything.
But when I go home, and this is the way I tried to explain it, and I don't know if any of our listeners have this feeling with their family where it's like, if you were in an abusive relationship with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm. All my boyfriends are nodding, yes. Yeah. They're my ex-boyfriends. No.
Don't you think your friends and family would be like, hey, get out of it?
Yeah.
No one would say like, stick it out, right?
Right, right.
Stick it out. I know he's beating you, or I know that she's constantly cheating on you, but like,
no, you could do better.
Yeah. I'm like, mom, that's what this is for me. This is an abusive relationship in some ways. Like, I come home and it's so stressful, mm-hmm. and emotionally draining. It's like, this isn't healthy for me anymore. I can't come home. I'm not coming home anymore.
Right.
That's a sad thing to say. But if these guys don't change, why do I need to keep going home and seeing the same thing that I already know I'm going to see?
Yeah.
That's kind
of
shitty.
That makes me sad too, thinking of like a brand new house that's probably nice inside, and then like just moving. You don't even get the chance to really plan the new house because you're just dumping everything from the old house.
And that's exactly what she was doing. She's like moving a pile from here to there and nothing was getting done. And I was like, I got to take a walk. I went outside and I just power washed the whole house.
You walked on one of her 12 treadmills. Yeah. you're like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and to walk on one
of these. I could never get there.
22 ab rowers. Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. And it's like, I got the bed I was sleeping in was like a little twin bed, and it had a huge pile of clothes on it when I got there. And I'm just like, nothing's comfortable here.
It's almost like nothing. People just have to, I really kind of grew up not sloppy, but just with like clothes everywhere. But it was when I watched on some program, it honestly might've been Ellen or something, some weird comedy show, that it wasn't even meant to be part of the content. But someone had said like that they train themselves just to, no matter what, take off their clothes and put it right in the laundry basket.
Yeah.
And I felt like that it probably hit for me when I was like 21 or 22 that I was like, oh, clothes don't go on the floor or the chair or anything. It's like I have to decide right in that minute what they do.
Well,
if they're dirty
what,
or
I
if
mean,
they're clean.
She kind of broke down and was like, because I told her, I'm like, you need to get help. And it's not about hoarding. It's something else that's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Something is not clicking and you haven't dealt with it, and it's time to deal with it, and you need to talk to somebody because this has gotten out of hand.
Yeah, you can't have clarity when your space is
like
this. Yeah.
Right. And I think there's a little bit of like, I mean, my mom has not had an easy road in a lot of ways. And definitely like some of the conversation we had, I was like, okay, I get why this is happening. But now the next step is we have to like repair.
Yes.
We have to change. And you have to do it fucking hard. Like really, like not like, I guess I'm going to not, like if you're going to eat better, you can't be like, I'm going to eat one less bad thing a week. You have to be like, think about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want this in your body? Is it better for you? You know,
right?
And like dairy. I'm just kidding. So,
if your mom's listening, though, Luann, I think you're beautiful and smart, and I respect you.
I'm not trying to throw my mom into some like that. She's an amazing woman. She just got out of hand with this shit, and now it's like
it's never
one of those
too
things
late
where,
to.
It isn't. I know it seems like it is. It's too daunting, but like it's never too late to just start.
Not at all. It will feel better.
One thing she did do, and I was really excited to tell you, you know the raccoon story with me, right?
Yes.
I got there and waiting on the bed that I was.
Oh, my gosh.
She had purchased.
No.
A raccoon toy for Arrow, my dog.
Oh,
And so she's like, well, you know, keep it in the family, like father, like son.
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
Holy shit.
So Bo had a raccoon puppet growing up that he would use it to pleasure himself.
Yeah.
And he wore out the latex so much that it was looking like a porcupine.
But so I
did you bring it?
I gave it to
Arrow. Did you have sex with it?
No.
Be honest.
No. It's got a squeaker in it.
Okay. Are you going to make your dog masturbate with it? I feel like you do weird
stuff.
Oh, my
God. No.
You promise?
Yeah, I can definitely promise that. But I gave it to Arrow. He ripped it apart in like 5 minutes. I'm not kidding. It was like fuzz everywhere. He fucking destroyed it.
Did your mom give you a hard time about being single and questioning you in that realm, or not really?
Besides- no, because I don't, you know, I don't really get into that kind of stuff with her.
Yeah.
I just don't. I mean, at this point, she knows, like, I'm 45. She's not getting grandbabies, probably.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And, you know, I don't know.
Did you see your sister?
Yeah.
How was that?
It's fine. I mean, listen, everybody in my family is a really good person.
Yeah.
Know? That's the truth. They're all good people. I come from good people. I just feel like, you know, there's also, I mean, they live in a small town.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I just think, like, part of that, like, I this is hard. This is hard to say, but I don't really have anything in common with my family. They're good people. But I don't really have anything in common.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about anything other than nothing, really.
They're like, not watching just, the Criterion Channel of no. movies.
No, it's just like, I don't know. Do you feel like you have things in common
yes.
with your...
Okay, I still so. Do. I know. But I'm also weird, but I can relate to you. But like, it's weird that I think my parents and I have, like, even though they're still in a small town in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
we've gone down the same roads, like mentally or just yeah. like philosophically or whatever. The only thing is that they're very, very like... I mean, they're very, very like liberal Democrat, which like I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm saying they're a little bit more. They hate Trump more than I do.
Yeah,
and that they're kind of like.
Well, that's because you're like the child of demons, and you just like to stir the shit up and watch everyone burn.
Totally. Yes.
And so I think that's like the opposite of what a liberal would really kind of do, right?
That's true.
You like watching the chaos.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I stir that shit up.
And for me, it's like I think. My childhood was not the best, and not because of my parents. That wasn't it. But like, I just don't have great memories of back there. So when I go, I already have like PTSD, and then with the hoarding thing, and mm-hmm. that's its own thing. And then it's like, you know, all I can say is Ohio problems are not the same as my problems. Like,
yeah.
small town problems are not the same as San Diego
exactly.
bigger city
yep.
problems.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone knows everybody, and it's like kind of, I don't know, it's just a slower pace and. I just, it's not my favorite thing in the world.
Right.
And I don't like going there. So, and that offends them. And then I have to get in a fight and whatever, you know?
I do know.
Well,
I'm proud of you for going and for sharing your emotions with us.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach in your mom's hoarding, find you like a ribbon, like a first place ribbon somewhere.
There was this thing like, do you ever watch those videos on like Facebook or whatever, internet, you see looping through where it's like someone's like cleaning something off with like a. I don't know. It's like they take this old rusty bucket and they spray it down.
Like a
and
power
it's like,
blaster or
yeah,
something.
It's a brand new bucket.
Yeah.
I had that 3 days straight in my life because I was power washing the house and I was cleaning things up. And
you
I was
were?
Like, it was like, it was my own ASMR. It was like really great in that way. Like
just
the house had like moss and like not mold, but like green. It was mm-hmm. like, it was just discolored. And I went through with a power washer and
wow.
I cleaned it off and saw the brand new and I was like,
See, that's cool. And then did your mom sell that house already? Or she the old
that's
house?
That's the new house that I was
oh,
purchasing.
Okay.
The old house she was renting, so she's not selling it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this cool. is the first house she's ever owned. So
well, congratulations.
I know. I'm proud of her for doing it. I hope she can get there. It's going to take a long time, but like...
Her housewarming gift is air. Nothing. What do you get for the person that has...
Everything.
22 boxes of Godiva chocolates. No, I feel for you. And I feel for you, and I'm going through a similar thing with, like I said, with my dad and his health. Definitely
yeah.
not, they're not hoarders, they're not anything, but it's more like, yeah, it's more the health.
Yeah.
You know, if frustration is frustration when you're trying to like help your parents or.
Well, when you see an answer to something and then the people just aren't acting on it, I mean, that's where I struggle. Where it's like, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to live that way, that's fine. If they want to, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm hearing from all of them. That they're like, yeah, I gotta take care of that.
Mm.
It's like, well, then fucking take care of
yeah.
it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Who would have known? Who would have known me?
Who would have known you? Do you have anything else? Or do you want me to tell you about
something
else that happened?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, well, this will be good. Maybe, I was gonna say, maybe my boyfriend Jack will have the time to to further clean your house because, or your mom's house, because he just lost his job. And I want to tell you just quickly, in terms of how it relates to me.
Of course.
How this affects me.
Yeah, so Jack works in the radio business. Yep. He was, you know, his whole staff got fired months ago. But yep. then he was left on to sort of like take over.
Correct. He was doing the morning show all by himself in our spare bedroom office. And he did not like that. And I think like a lot of people almost would dream for like, now I have my own morning radio show.
Right.
But the way it, and maybe he would if it was normal circumstances, but the way that it broke down with him doing it in like our bedroom and just having to do it while the riots were happening, while everything was happening, it was just too much for him to take. So they had told him, well, he also, he had a crazy week where he had his like longtime ex-girlfriend died. So the girl, the girlfriend that he, because this was like Monday or Tuesday of this day of this week. And then he found out that the ex-girlfriend died. And this is the person that he lived with for like 9 years and had the dogs together and all that kind of stuff. So he was really upset about that. And then he got a call just saying, we're going to need you to pop on this like 8:45 a.m. meeting, which is he never has. And
yeah, he's like, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah. So another coworker had that happen too. And then during the meeting, she had told him, like, I'm fired. And so he knew what was coming. But I think so he got let go. They gave him a really a good severance package. And with like, I think now is also the good time to get on unemployment with everyone, because I think he'll get the extra whatever. But
whatever it is now.
Whatever it is now. But I have hope, because I think this is very good for us. And he's taking it very well, because I think our schedule was worse than I even thought. Like now having, it's been about 4 or 5 days of having him not have to wake up at like 3 a.m. and go to bed at 7 p.m. And we're seeing that like during the week when I'm up in Los Angeles, he's getting to see his friends a little bit more and like live life normally, so that by the time I come home, he's not as, I don't know what the word is, but like, he's not a, basically before we would only have one like the small weekend to jam in everything, times with us, his friend time, his staying up late and then sleeping late. And so it was just too much. But now I think it's going to be good, because I think he could even come up and visit me in L.A. Does he want to move there? No.
Do you want him to?
Yes. It would make it a hell of a lot easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. There's some reservations, but.
Oh, God, I'm sorry that he lost his job, but it's like everyone is losing their job.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there are industries that like are thriving right now.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my friend in the animation industry, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we're hiring more people."
And that's awesome. Yeah, I think
because a lot of people are like, animation is something you can do at your home.
Yes, right. I find the same thing with podcasting. It feels like there's a lot new podcasting companies and podcast jobs and all that kind of stuff. So
that's
I think
gonna burn out though.
You think?
You know? Yeah.
Oh, because like once everyone does go
people,
back to
people will start it because that's what they you know like. Oh, I can start a podcast, and you're gonna get this huge surge. Mm-hmm. And we heard that from Steve. And he said there was a huge burst of new podcasts. But then, you know, pod fade happens. And
then people get fired.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. So, yeah. So I have faith that this will be good for us and our situation, because I really think he'll be able to come visit me. We'll have more time and we will see how things go. But in a few months, my goal would for like us to be if so basically if he gets a new job in San Diego, I think it would be tell me if you think this is fair or awful or not. Then if he decides that he's going to stay in San Diego, then maybe our compromise can be renting our place and then he gets like a smaller place.
Sure.
And I just have to pay for the LA rent. Is that fair or not? Because you guys, am I being bitchy or not? Because like I want to live in Los Angeles. And I do. But at what point do I say I still want to pay two rents? Not never. Or like at what point would it be if he decides to stay in San Diego, and then maybe the compromise can be then, okay, then I'm unleashing myself from paying two places.
Yeah. I mean, this is for you guys. I don't know.
What do you
I don't
think,
know. Though? Well, I mean, I think that you bought a house in San Diego that your boyfriend's living in. And now you're living in Los Angeles and you're realizing like that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so now you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But that is
I don't want to do it forever. I can do it for the like.
Right. So what you're saying is like, hey, Jack, you got to move out. And then we're going to rent the house so that I can pay for my place in L.A. But then he's like, wait, now I have to pay double rent.
Sounds about. No. We would rent it out. We would rent our place out.
So that would pay for itself.
Correct.
And probably some more.
Correct.
I see. I don't know. Most people just break up and go.
No,
I'm just saying most people would.
Yeah.
And then you would go to L.A. and be like, I'm going to start my life here. And he would stay here and start his life there. And
well,
I'm not saying
what
you should do.
That's
not what I mean. I'm just like, this is a very interesting situation you put yourself in is all.
I know. It is. It's the modern day Romeo and Juliet. She lives in a different city. He just got fired. He's at unemployment.
Roaming Ho and Juliet.
Well, I'll keep everyone updated. Let me know if you think it's fair or if I should pay two rents forever because this is my penance for like wanting to move forward with something I like in my life and not being stuck in the same situation.
God. That's you right there.
Well, that's really... Do you want to do anything or should we wait?
I just started getting... feeling sick to my stomach talking about the hoarding thing.
And there's also... There's literally ants crawling up my arm. I swear my
life. There are not.
Yep, there are. So... maybe we should just say goodbye to everyone.
I have to clean my house.
They're big ants, too. They're hefty ones.
They're carrying things off.
I know. Well.
All right. Until next time, everyone. I got to clean my house. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.